hurry. I'm late as it is.
Well, get your coat on. I'm almost finished.
If I'm late once more, I'll lose my job.
All I have to do is put your lunch in a paper bag.
Well, maybe if you started making the sandwiches a little earlier in the morning.
Well, if we'd gotten up when the alarm went off. Hey, give me a kiss before you go.
Oh, all right.
And get out of here. Harold's due at 10.
Who's Harold?
What?
I thought I heard you say Harold's due at 10.
Harold? Who's Harold? I don't know any Harold.
How can he know about Harold?
There, you did it again.
Did what? Sam, what's gotten into you this morning? I didn't say anything about Harold. We don't even know a Harold. Sam, why are you looking at me like that? Sam, answer me. Sam.
Theater 5 presents The Man Who Heard Everything.
You're trying to pull.
Pull? I'm not trying to pull anything.
You know I can't change no $5 bill.
What's the matter? Don't you have any change?
No.
At least not as far as you're concerned, wise guy.
I think if you look in there, you'll find plenty of change. And I'm not a wise guy.
Well, think again, because I ain't got no change for no five.
Either change this bill for me, or I'll take your badge number and report you to the transit authority.
Who does this clown think he is? He ain't gonna report me to no transit authority.
Oh, yes, I will. And I'm not a clown either. Now, hurry up and give me my change. The train's coming.
Hey, what do you do? Read minds or something?
Just give me my change and hurry. I did it. I did it. I could hear everything he was thinking. Look at all these people crowding in, thicker than sardines. They stand jammed together without saying anything, like cattle. But they aren't quiet. They're thinking. It seems like I can almost hear him. If I can, if I concentrate on one, I can hear what he's thinking. That woman over there with the green hat and the shopping bag.
I don't know why I got stuck with everything. She didn't like it. Should have taken it back to the store. Exchanged herself. Been this way ever since we were children.
That young man over there, the one without a hat.
How do I get stuck here every morning? I never intended it to turn out this way. I'm a poet. I always was. My soul will die if I don't quit riding these subways. That's it. I'll quit my job. The baby's old enough now. My wife can go to work again.
And that pretty girl over there. I wonder what she's thinking.
If she comes in just one more morning and pulls the sheets off me like that, how, right in the mouth? That's a lousy way to wake a person up. I gotta get out of the house, that's all. Even if it takes getting married. That's what I'll do. Get married. But who? Harry? No, he's a creep. And Roger hasn't gotten money. And anyways, I like Sylvester. But he's only got one thing on his mind. Oh, nuts. I'm too tired to think about it. I could go to sleep standing up. But I can't trust this creep behind me.
That old man over there with his hat pulled down over his eyes. Wonder if he's asleep.
Let's see. If I sell my 300 shares of telephone stock and invest in this new space stock, I should realize a profit of $3,000 before anybody knows they're not going to get the missile contract.
I can do it. I can do it. I can tell the way anybody's thinking just by looking at them. I don't know how I can, but I can. From now on, I can do anything I want.
Good morning, Mr. Healy. You're late this morning.
Am I?
Well, yes. It's almost 11 o'clock.
How is it? I hadn't noticed.
Mr. Haskins has been looking all over for you.
Has he? Well, if you bump into him again, tell him he can find me in my accustomed place, seated on the bench behind my desk, my oar in both hands.
What's gotten into old Frumpface this morning?
Don't you worry about old Frumpface, my dear. I just watch out for myself if I were you.
Why,
What?
There's more passion that bubbles beneath this wrinkled exterior than are dreamed of in your diaries, Miss Horatio.
What, Mr. Healy?
Miss Perkins?
Yes?
Is that Healy I see out there?
Yes, Mr. Haskins.
Send him into my office right away.
Yes, sir. Mr. Healy.
I heard. Tell him I'll be in as soon as I can make it.
What, but Mr. Healy...
Now, you heard me.
He's gone right out of his mind.
No, I haven't gone out of my mind. People around here are only going to wish that I had.
Just what is the meaning of all this, Healy?
A meaning of what, Mr. Haskins?
Coming to work at 10:45.
Oh, is it 10:45 already?
Well, it's more like 12:15 right now. It's taken you a full 20 minutes to get to my office. Where were you?
Reading the paper.
Reading the paper?
Yes, I was going to come right over, but I noticed the headlines of the paper on my desk, and it occurred to me that I hadn't really sat down and enjoyed the paper in the morning for a long time. So I just did it.
This man needs the fear of God thrown into him.
Well?
Well, what?
You haven't given me any explanation as to where you were this morning at 9:00. You are aware that we begin work at this office at 9:00.
Oh, yes, sir.
Well?
Well, what?
Well, where were you?
Oh, that. I was out walking.
Out what?
Out walking and listening to people talk.
That's your only excuse? You were listening to people talk?
It wasn't an excuse, sir. It was the reason.
I can't actually fire him. He's too valuable to the operation to let go.
Did you realize, sir, that at 10:00 outside this office, frequently the sun can be found shining?
I'm aware of that, Healy. Are you aware that you haven't been in this office at 9:00 sharp one morning this week?
Yes, I am, sir, and I regret it deeply.
That's better.
Fortunately, I'm willing to overlook it.
Oh, don't do that.
What?
Well, I think I ought to be fired.
Fired?
I can't do that. What will Mr. Gately say? He already thinks my employee relationships are very bad.
Well... Now, Sam, firing a man is a little severe. Perhaps we can talk this over.
No. I think it's gotten beyond that. After all, I have been late every day this week.
On the contrary, Sam. I was thinking maybe the reason your interest has been lagging lately is because your salary hasn't been what it ought to be. Confidentially, I've been thinking of a little raise for you.
Oh, a raise. How much?
Well, let's see.
You should have 10. Settle for 5. I'll try 250 and see what he says.
How does 250 sound to you?
Sounds more like 5.
All right, by George, since you insist.
Plus 10, that would be $15.
$15? What makes you think I'm going to give you or anybody else a $15 raise?
Because I know something about you that nobody else knows.
What? What do you know? You know nothing.
Don't I?
He can't know about the Thornton account.
Just let me mention two words. Thornton account.
How can you know that?
Well, let's just say I know.
But how? I juggle those books myself. The true books are in my safe at home.
Or would you prefer to have me suggest to Mr. Gately that we go over the true books of that account, which are hidden in your safe at home?
How do you know about my safe at home?
Well, let's just say that I know about a great many things you keep hidden from the world, but I've been easy on you up until now. Now, about that raise. Do I get 15 or do we make it 20?
No. 15 will be fine.
Good. From now on, forward my checks to my home. I doubt if I'll be in from now on.
Where are you going?
Out. Out. To enjoy myself a little, to see a little of the world.
But I can't pay a man who isn't here.
Oh, I'm sure you'll think of a way. Good day, Mr. Haskins.
He has to be a fraud.
I am not a fraud. I assure you, Mr. Rogers.
You've done it again.
I can sit here and read your thoughts for as long as you like.
All right. I'll just think my next question.
What made you come to see us?
Easy as pie. I said to myself, Sam, you have got a rare talent here, one that's worth a lot of money to the right party. So I thought to myself, what is the biggest industry in the world? Steel? Stocks and bonds? No, sir, I said to myself, the biggest industry in the world is the United States government. Why, they spend more money every year than all the rest put together, and they have more power. With them, I can do anything I want, have anything I want.
And to what possible use could we put you?
Well, think, man. Why, the possibilities stagger the imagination. Just put me in the same room with a man, and I can look at him and tell you what he's thinking. Summit conferences, test ban negotiations, missile contract bids. I can tell you instantly what the opposition's objectives are before they make them known. What? If nothing else, within 5 minutes I can tell you if any man is a security risk or not. Conservatively speaking, I figure my time will be worth about, $20,000 a minute.
How much longer they're going to be in there? I've got a date.
And who was that?
Who was what?
Huh. I thought I heard a woman say something.
No, we're quite alone here.
Oh? Mm-hmm.
And what do you expect by way of payment for your unusual talent?
Anything I want.
What?
Women, cars, a private plane, money, everything I want when I want it.
That could run into millions of dollars yearly.
Oh, I intend to be worth it.
Suppose we decided we couldn't afford you.
Huh? Oh. Well, I'm sure my services would be of value to the Russians.
I see.
We can't afford to let him slip through our fingers.
No, you can't.
Miss Prescott.
Yes, Mr. Rogers.
It's her.
Who?
The girl whose voice I heard. What? I read her thoughts through that wall. Huh? My powers are increasing.
Miss Prescott, get me the Pentagon. Sam, where do you want to have lunch?
Oh, anywhere you say. I don't know Washington very well.
I know a good place down this way.
Oh, fine.
I thought if we had lunch together, we could save some time. From now on, of course, your time is going to be at a premium. The Pentagon has decided to put you on a crash training program.
Oh, good.
We're going to put you into two intensive language training programs, Russian and Chinese.
Okay.
For the money, I can get it. And why not? He's got it, and I deserve it.
We're not going to bother with any espionage training, because in your case, espionage won't be needed. It'll all be open and above board.
Uh-huh.
And then we'll train you as a stenographer.
No, no, that won't work. What I'll do is invite her out to dinner first. Then, after dinner, casually, I'll invite her over to my...
You see, place. Sam, the idea being that you sit in on the conference as a stenographer. But what you're really doing is taking down their thoughts in shorthand.
Mm-hmm.
If I ever see him do that again... Kill him. That's what I'll do. I'll take the biggest thing I can...
I say, Sam, you listening to me?
What? Oh, yes, yes.
What's the matter? You seem preoccupied.
Oh, that. Well, it's just that I keep picking up the thoughts of the people passing by, and it's hard to concentrate.
Well, we won't have any trouble in here. This is the quietest restaurant in Washington. Right through here.
Can I help you, gentlemen?
Neither one looks like a big tipper.
Yes, a quiet table for two, please.
Right this way, please.
I'll put them behind the platter. Nobody wants that table.
I thought you said this was a quiet place.
Yes,
Sam. The noise in here is so loud, I can hardly think. I don't think it's right.
What shall I have?
That's the slippiest waitress I ever saw.
Fish, that's what I'll have. Fish.
The roast is overdone.
Where did all the people come from? What people?
There can't be more than 10 people in this room.
Wonder what she does after work.
Why do they all have to talk at once? Who? The people in this room are shouting at me.
Why doesn't somebody call a cop?
Out of the way, you slut.
Anything from a birthday. Who likes to eat fish anyway? Nobody. That fool.
I can't stand it anymore. Sam, what's the matter? I gotta get out of here.
Sam, come back.
You're driving me crazy. I gotta get out of here.
Sam. Sam, come back here.
Hello?
Sam? Sam, can you hear me?
Hmm?
Sam, can you hear me?
Where am I? It's so dark.
Don't be frightened, Sam. You're all right.
Where am I?
Listen to me carefully, Sam. You're at the bottom of a missile silo in Wyoming.
What?
I said you're at the bottom of an abandoned missile silo in Wyoming. We had to put you out there for your own safety.
But why?
Don't you remember?
No. No, I don't. Now, wait a minute. I seek to remember something about pain and my ears.
That's right. You began to get ultra-sensitive. Your ears seemed to hear everything. Not only the thoughts of the people in the room around you and the next room, but thoughts and noises from people as much as a mile away.
Oh, yes. Now I remember.
For a while, we thought we had it licked when we put you in that lead-lined room at the Pentagon. But after a while, you started reading through that.
Yes. Now I remember. The pain, the excruciating pain.
It happens every time somebody comes near you. So we had you moved to an abandoned missile site in Wyoming. There's not another human being within 100 miles. The only contact you have with the outside world is this telephone line.
What'll happen to me?
Well, we're working on that. You see, when people think, their minds give off minute quantities of radio energy. You're able to read their thoughts due to a sensitivity that you've developed, which picks up these radio messages. The only trouble is that you're not able to select the number of these radio messages, the distance at which you will receive them, or the volume.
And the pain?
Well, the pain comes from the overstimulation of your auditory nerves. It's as if you were receiving radio broadcasts from all the stations in the world at once at full blast.
But how long are you going to leave me here?
Only as long as it takes to figure out a way to protect you from all these radio emissions.
Or control the sensitivity.
We're working on that.
What if you can't control it? What happens if it gets worse and worse?
Now, Sam, don't worry about that. We've got the top scientific talent in Washington working around the clock on this. You're very valuable to us.
And in the meantime?
In the meantime, just sit tight. Those missile centers are stocked with enough survival rations to keep you alive for months. Even...
years, if necessary.
Well, I didn't say that. Now, Sam, we should have you out of there in a couple of weeks. A month, at the most. In the meantime, just relax.
How do I turn the lights on?
Well, they'll go on in an hour. They're programmed to put you on a day and night schedule, just like on the Earth's surface. Now, don't forget, if you need anything, just call me. This is a direct line to my phone in Washington. Okay?
Okay.
All right, I'm hanging up now, Sam. Remember, if you need anything, just give us a ring.
Okay. Bye. Thanks, buddy. Thanks for all the help. Now, what do I do till the lights go on? Can't even look for food.
Operator.
What's that? Oh, I must have forgotten to hang the phone up.
Operator.
No, it's in the cradle.
What number did you dial, please?
Oh, that can't be.
I dialed my mother in San Francisco.
You're coming in over the phone.
Dad, I bet you didn't expect to hear from me.
Oh, no. No.
Cell 300 chair.
Come home, Paul.
Hello. Hello, operator.
What happened to that order?
Operator, help.
Hello, Sam.
It's raining up here. It's raining down there.
Tear the phone out of the wall. That's what I'll do.
Sam, is that you?
Hello, Grandma.
No. No, they're coming in over the wire. A little stub of wire. What am I going to do?
We've been disconnected. Hello, Sam.
Hi,
Sam, hello.
That's what I told her.
Hello, Sam.
No. No, no. Please. God, help me. Please. No.
Presented The Man Who Heard Everything, written by George Bamber, produced and directed by Warren Somerville. In the cast, Norman Rose, Mary Jane Higby, Ralph Bell, Evelyn Juster, and John Gibson. Audio engineers Neil Pulse and Marty Folia. Sound technician Ed Blaney. Script editor Jack C. Wilson. Original music by Alexander Vlastotsenko. Orchestra under the direction of Glenn Osser. Executive producer for Theater 5, Mr. Lee Bowman. We invite your comments. Write to Theater 5, New York 23, New York. That's Theater 5, New York 23, New York. This is Fred Foy speaking. This has been an ABC Radio Network production.